So I, of course, left the list back there. Isaac, you ready? You cool?
Why not?
All right. Good enough. Do we have any bits of business? Yeah. Isaac, do you want a minute before you come up here?
No, I'm good.
All right, you're good. And we're going to bring up another newcomer to the stage. New to Austin, commuting Austin to Portland, which means he never runs into a Republican ever. I never. You'll explain. Isaac Mayo.
Thank you. I did actually run into a Republican the other day. Thank you. All right. I'm usually funnier before I start my act. So hopefully you all believe that. No, I did run into okay, for one thing, I don't know any famous people, so the part of my friend Chris will be played by Matthew McConaughey in the story. And there's three things I want to start with. One, if you're going to do a cross-country trip from Queens, New York to Portland, Oregon, the correct way to do this is to drive to Chicago, rent a car. I'm sorry. Drive to Chicago, get on a plane, fly to Denver, rent another car, and then drive to the West Coast. Because that part in between, it's not good. And that's where the story starts. I was on a bachelorette party where I played I was a bridesman, and I didn't have to. I wore a regular suit, so I didn't dress up. So don't. It wasn't a cross-dressing kind of thing. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It was just that I just wore a suit. That's all. But the trip was a bachelorette party, and it was me and my friend Matthew McConaughey, and my friend Mary and Kim, the bride to be. And the idea was that we would go from Queens to Portland, and it would be a lot of fun. Now, it was a lot of fun, but we also ended up calling it the Rest Stop Tour of America, because that's about how much time we had to make it from one side to the other. So we go through, and we're having a good time and stuff, other than a ridiculous fight between me and Kim in Chicago, which almost left me in Chicago, which would have been a much better time than driving to the Midwest. Unfortunately, we worked it out. And so I continued to on the trip. And I will tell you, and if you haven't done it, I mean, like, raise your hand if you've driven through the Midwest. Okay, so you all know what I'm talking about, right? This is not a good time. This is not a happy thing. Like, one time we got out of the car, and my friend Mary, describe my friend Mary, she's one of these like, kind of happy hippie girls who only statistically hasn't been murdered. Because of her ability, you know, because of her tendency to go along with whatever's happening. And at one point, I remember we're like somewhere in some, it might have had a name, I don't give a fuck, but it's a place. And so we're standing out there and we're looking around at the whole vista. And she's like, this is gorgeous, this is beautiful, I can't believe how wonderful this is. This is just like the most amazing thing ever. I'm like, do you know what I see? I go, I see fucking no food, no water, no shelter. That's what I fucking see. Excuse my language, but that's how I felt about the situation. So we continue this, and so we finally made it to actually what's called Sheridan, Wyoming. Anybody been to Sheridan, Wyoming ever? All right, okay. You may not have known, but this is a bastion of civilization to people who just got out of Waldrug. Anybody know Waldrug?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the signs? They're more fun than Waldrug. So we get to Sheridan, Wyoming, and I see the first person under 350 pounds in 3 days. And it was just, and so we're like, all right, this might be a place we can find pot, is the first thing me and Matthew say. Me and Matthew were big potheads at the time, and this has been a while since either of us had indulged. And so we're like, we could probably find some weed here, is the first thing we thought. And so we go to a bar, and the girls, they find some guys, and they start playing pool and stuff, and they're having a good time, whatnot. And me and Matthew McConaughey, we find some dudes that are a lot like us that have some weed at their motel room. And so we're like, hey, we are really good friends, and we didn't even know it. And so we go back there, we get stoned, we come back over, and the girls had made friendly with these two guys. And okay, this is another thing I should have mentioned in the beginning of the story. Okay, the real moral of this, has anybody seen 30 Rock? Raise your hand. Okay, there's a line one time where Alec Baldwin says, never follow a hippie to a second location. All right, we all remember this. Okay, good. This is really fucking good advice that I did not fucking understand at the time.
So these two guys, hippies, not, you know, no offense, my mother was one, it happens. They say that we can stay at their place, and we've been avoiding hotel fees the whole time. And so, like, we're like, all right, fine. And so we start following them out of Sheridan, and I swear to God, we must have ended up in Canada, Montana, some fucking where. We were driving for so long, I'm telling people, oh, we're not in Wyoming anymore. There's no way that Wyoming is this big for us to be driving this long. And we're following these guys, and I'm like, okay, they're probably fine. And I'm telling everybody, I'm like, because I'm the guy in the group always that's like trying to get everybody to like not die. That's just my like place in the hierarchy or whatever. And so I'm saying, all right, let's just follow some very simple rules. Let's just stick together for a little while until we meet everybody and find out how everything is. You know, that seems like pretty reasonable, like, situation, you know? I mean, reasonable advice, whatever. I still feel okay with it. So, of course, Mary, my friend that I was talking about, that is, again, only alive statistically because every happy-going hippie girl cannot be killed by a murderer. It's just a statistic impossibility. That's why she's still here. And so we pull up and we get out of the car and we're getting some stuff out of the things. We're grabbing our sleeping bags and we're like, okay, this is all right. We got a place to stay for the night. This seems good. You know, we're still stoned. This is fun. And then suddenly Kim, she's like, Mary, where's Mary? And I'm like, hey, Mary, where's Mary? And everybody starts yelling Mary, and Mary is not yelling back. And one of the hippies is totally gone, and so is Mary. I only have one hippie at this point, okay? I started with two, down to one. Well, Mary's hippie. Okay, I had three in the original, and now I only have one hippie at this point. And this is kind of fun, because at this point, I got to find out what hippies look like to cops when a mag light is shining in their face. Because I shined a fucking mag light in this hippie's face, because I'm like, where the fuck is your hippie friend and my friend Mary? And he had no answers for me. And this is where the thing kind of got a little aggressive. It got a little, like all this time I ever spent playing fucking, like, video games, you know, like first-person shooters, like, tactical attack things, like, it all kicked in right now. You know, I'm just like, this is awful. Somebody might be dying, but I think I have the skill set for this because I played video games. And we had a collapsible baton that Kim's husband-to-be had left with us. So I grabbed that, I had that, and the mag light, and I was interrogating, okay, scaring the fuck out of this poor hippie with a mag light. Because no matter, okay, and the other thing is that Kim, she had broke formation, which was against the rules. And she did this in a very outstanding way. She did this by taking the car and driving it around a field in circles. Apparently to her, for some reason, and we talked about it later, she didn't understand exactly why, this seemed reasonable to her as a way to find Mary. And since, I mean, for the, I mean, I will have to say, like the time in between Mary getting out of the car and us yelling Mary was probably 120 seconds. Okay? Like, she disappeared like only a hippie who wants to make out with another hippie can happen. It was ridiculous. She was gone. And so we're screaming her name, and I'm fucking got a flashlight in this hippie's face, and Chris is just going along with my intense adrenaline rush because he doesn't play quite as many video games as I do. And I'm just like, okay, we gotta like scour the area without losing this one and find our friend. And unfortunately, this does not get any more dramatic. Eventually, we found our friend. She came out. It was again, the statistics prove that if a person who goes along with everything somebody else says, no matter what, with no regard for their own personal safety, some of them will not die. She had apparently, as soon as getting out of the car, in complete disregard to my advice to stick together, well, Kim also did not regard my advice by driving around in the field for no reason. Went down to in a basement, a soundproof basement, apparently, where nobody could hear us screaming her name, and was getting some dog food for the dogs. And it was a very difficult situation for me because I had to get two of these people back, like Kim back to her marriage, of course, and Mary back, you know, to get married, and Mary back to her marriage that already was engaged, that it was happening. And so I felt a deep responsibility to make sure everybody was not dead. We did find her, and at this point, of course, the most, like, dramatic situation was that me and Chris's buzz that we had achieved in the hotel room with the two guys we had met earlier by smoking some pot was completely gone. completely gone. And so here we are, sober as judges. We finally found Mary. And Mary is acting like it's no big deal, even though she had very specific instructions to not leave the group. And so she comes back, and everybody is kind of in one place. Now, the happy ending here is that very much after everybody had stopped being crazy people, the guys did come out with a very nice offering of marijuana for me and Chris. And we got very stoned. But there is an unhappier ending where right before we went to sleep, and I will just say this again to keep the hippie theme going, they asked us, one of the guys, he said, would you like us to put some music on for y'all to sleep to? And I said, that would be wonderful after this evening. And they proceeded to put on some of the most obnoxious, twangy, jam band bullshit that any human being has ever had to be exposed to in their entire lives while we were trying to sleep. And it was awful. I eventually did fall asleep, but I will say that Alec Baldwin's advice on 30 Rock is incredibly functional, incredibly important, and nobody should ever fuck around with it. Never, ever follow a hippie to a second location. Thank you. Isaac Mayo, everybody. Give it up. In 5 years, we'll be working for him or dead by his hand. Everybody knew where that joke came from. So we are kind of at the 90-minute mark, so I think we're going to do one more, and then we're going to have a giveaway because we have a door prize, and then we're going to break for intermission. Right now, we got no one on the sign-up sheet for intermission. So we could just... We got one. All right, good. The newcomers who came in, this would be the time... to sign up to tell a story. We would love to have you. This is about as warm and receptive a crowd as there is. You're not going to embarrass yourself. If you have even an inkling that you would like to tell a story and you're thinking, I need a few more drinks. That's when you'll embarrass yourself. So just put your name on the sheet. We'll be happy. We would be more than happy to hear from you and to hear your story. In the meantime... we have a South by... Oh, and the hashtag for this event, because it's the law, you have to say those things, is FrayCafe13. It is also a venue on Foursquare, so feel free to check in at FrayCafe13. How about that? Yes. Social media for the win! For the win. It's 1978. Nuke the whales. You gotta nuke somebody.